Muy buenas tardes, un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín, allí en la congregación.
Good afternoon. Greetings to missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, there in the congregation that Reverend Hugo Rodriguez pastors, there in Topo Chico, Monterrey, Nuevo León, México, and to all who are connected through the Amazonas satellite and the Eutelsat 8 satellite and other means of communication. Today, Friday, June 20th of this year, 2025, when our subject is God's promise to Abraham. It was the introduction given to us by Dr. William Soto Santiago on this subject, which he then expanded upon on Sunday. This was on Friday, March 3rd of 2017 in San Marcos, Texas, United States of America, and he expanded upon this message afterwards on Sunday, March 5th of 2017. But we will be seeing and hearing the one of the introduction from Friday, March 3rd of 2017, in which he read to us the scripture of Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 and on, where it tells us, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given me no seed, that is, a child, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he draws a star of David to the left. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now towards heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he draws another star of David there on the left. God's promise to Abraham. You may please be seated. It tells us in the message, the light of the last day, which was preached on November 6th of 2000 in Valparaíso, Chile, Dr. William Soto Santiago says, and when Christ fulfills his word promise for this end time upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ going up to the age of the cornerstone, she is left clothed with the Son. Therefore, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will have a male son, one born in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, by believing in Christ as our Savior, washing away our sins in his blood, being baptized in his name, and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is how that male son is born in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he gives us all the details of how that male son would be born, that is, the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord to the church bride, which was rejuvenated. Now, notice, in a writing here, which they put for him in a Bible study of the message Victory Day, he writes there, he waited 25 years for the fulfillment of the promise of the coming of the promised Son. Now, notice that it began since 1974, which is when he spoke to us in different messages that it was the beginning of the dispensation of the kingdom, which is the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord. And the coming of the Lord, which is the seventh seal in his second coming, always begins with a birth. That is how it was 2,000 years ago. The beginning of the seventh seal in the first coming of the Lord was the birth of Jesus there in a stable. That was the beginning, in other words, with that instrument being born. And that instrument was potentially the beginning of that new dispensation that would be beginning on the day of Pentecost, the dispensation of grace. Now, notice how in 1974 plus 25 years, and if you take a look at all the days that the calendar is behind, plus the extra days, the 5 days per year, 5 days and a quarter per year, well, that would add up around 2,000. Now, notice that in that time, that baptism stage began. Around that time, that baptism stage began. And around that time, what we just read here was fulfilled about the birth of that male son being born in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As simple as that. See how the seventh seal is being opened at this end time? Now, he continues to say, just as all the elect of God in the last day, and just as the sons and daughters of God were born in past ages, on page 126 from the Book of Quotations, paragraph 11:19, it tells us, and God himself appeared in the form of a human being to Abraham's natural seed before the destruction. And Jesus said it would be the same thing to this royal seed before the promised son returns. And above there he writes Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And at the bottom he writes the promised son, because that promised son would be the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord, and the second coming of the Lord is the Son of Man with his angels. It is the ministry of Jesus, of Moses, and of Elijah. And above he writes there Abraham's seed equals the promised son. And also on this same page, 126, in the paragraph 1122, look, he tells us, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be when, at the returning, when the Son of Man will be made manifest, not Son of God now, Son of Man be made manifest, when he is being revealed, made known to his church, Son of Man will be revealed just before the promised Son. And there Brother William writes there above, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. The promised Son would come in that manifestation of God's power, which the Holy Spirit would be operating in him, those ministries. Now, he goes on to say, Abraham had seen God in many different forms, in a light and in a visions, but here was God in a man, just before the waited and promised Son appeared. Jesus said, before the promised Son returns again, Elohim would make himself, his word, manifested in flesh. Elohim would make himself, his word, manifested in flesh. God, sirs, we would see Jesus. God manifested the same all ages. It's always been. He has hid himself in behind human flesh. It's God in you. And look, Reverend William Branham also speaks to us in this message, titled
Probando ante puertas,
Possessing the Gate of the Enemy After Trial. He tells us on page 5 of this message, speaking about Abraham and Sarah, he says, she had turned back to a young woman. Notice, she had to bring that child. God made her a new creature. And she had to raise this child. And remember, Abraham, his body as good as dead. And Sarah died when Isaac was 45 years old. And I believe when Sarah died, And Abraham married another woman and had seven sons beside the daughters after that. Amen. See, read between the lines. It's a type. It shows there what he is going to do to all the children of Abraham. Just we are nearing it right now. So our stooped shoulders and everything don't make any difference, friend. And our gray hairs and whatever it is, it doesn't matter now. We do not look back. Let's look forward to what we're coming to. And remember, this sign that we are seeing was the last sign that Abraham and his Sarah saw before the promised son come into existence. We believe we are at that hour. And he writes there, he writes, the last sign before the coming of the promised son, and between parentheses, he writes, the promised Messiah, was the Son of Man revealed through a man in the form of a man who would prepare the way for the Messiah as John the Baptist did. I will read that again, that portion, the last sign, before the coming of the promised Son, and in between parentheses, the promised Messiah, was the Son of Man revealed through a man in the form of a man who would prepare the way for the Messiah as John the Baptist did. Now, notice that before that promised Son appears, the Son of Man had to appear to prepare the way for the Lord as John the Baptist did. In the message, the trial, he tells us on page 16, Reverend William Branham says, listen, in order to get that baby, her womb was dead. His life stream was dead. Now, to get, he would have to make her another womb. Would have to do it. And then they didn't have these bottles they stick in the baby's mouth so the mother can run around anywhere. Them days, it had to be a wet mother. So in order to do that, the milk veins was dried up. So he would have to make new milk veins and so forth to feed the baby. And another thing, a woman 100 years old going into labor, he would have to make her a new heart, see? So, he just didn't patch it up. Yeah, it wasn't a patch up. He didn't just patch it up. He showed in him what he is going to do with all the Abraham's seed. They'll turn back new, get a new body for to receive the coming son that we are looking for. I still believe the promise. And he writes there, they were rejuvenated to receive the promised son, type of the second coming. And look, in the book of the seals, on page 335, it tells us, here in the book of the seals, this corresponds to the fifth seal, and Reverend William Branham says, and look how perfectly Isaac had left the home and was out in the fields away from his home. When Rebecca saw him and the church meets Christ in the air, and then he takes her back into the home, father's home, where the mansions are prepared. Isaac took Rebecca the same way, and notice, it was love at first sight. Oh my, she just ran to meet him, and that's the way the church will meet Christ in the air and forever be with him. And there he writes, she goes up in the vindicated word, below here in the blue book, and in the red one, he writes, at the top where it says, we'll meet Christ in the air, he writes there, the age of the cornerstone. And here, on the right, in the blue one, in the blue book of the seals, on the right he writes, yesterday, the promised son, today, and there he draws a cornerstone, and the ages, because it is in the age of the cornerstone where he is seen, and where that promised son is born. And look here in this message titled, The Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ, on page 27. There it tells us, but to the elect, God is calling, to the elect, they know it, calling the virtuous bride, the word, the last day church, the elected lady of our Lord Jesus Christ. Word, if Jesus is the word, how many believe that? All right, then the bride is always part of the bridegroom, so the bride will not be a denomination. It'll have to be the word. And he writes there, above there he writes, promised, made a reality, fulfilled. It'll have to be the word manifested to be the bride of Christ, and he draws a cornerstone and the ages on the right. He promised to do it. He said how he did. Never uses, never loses his pattern. He always did it by the pattern. And on top there he writes, model. He done it every time by the pattern. The pattern. He done it every time by the pattern. He does it again, calling out his virtuous bride in the last days, the lovely Rebecca, waiting for her Isaac. And he writes there, Jesus Christ with Moses and Elijah, the promised son, Christ. Isaac equals Christ. Now, notice, in a writing here, that he left to us in a notebook, he writes, Rebecca decided to go with the servant, and in between parentheses he writes, fourth Elijah. Rebecca decided to go with the servant, fourth Elijah, and he writes there, camels equals power, the word. And he continues in the writing. This is a whole page in the notebook from that notebook. And he continues there in the writing. Rebecca, when saw Isaac, she asked who he was. And when the servant, in between parentheses, fourth Elijah, told her that he was Isaac, the bridegroom, the promised son, she felt love at first sight. The coming of the promised son and his work, and Rebecca, Isaac's bride and wife. The Gentile church, like Sarah, laughed at the promise of the second coming of Christ, the son promised to Abraham, the coming of the son of the promise, but God would fulfill it. But God would fulfill it. Just as the Hebrew church under the law laughed at the first coming of Christ, but God would fulfill it, and he fulfilled it, just as Sarah laughed at the coming of the son of the promised, Isaac, but God fulfilled it. God made Abraham and Sarah young after changing their names, and through a young man and a young woman, church, he fulfilled the coming of the promised son. All of this is a writing there from the notebook. You will see it later on in the study. And now notice how there he puts that servant as the fourth Elijah, and the camels and all everything he brought was the power, meaning it was the word. Now, notice that before the coming of that promised son, the Son of Man would manifest himself. He would be manifesting himself, which he told us about on page 22nd of the Book of Quotations. Paragraph 183, the Son of Man is now being revealed from heaven. Will it come after a while, Brother Branham? It is now, and I hope I won't have to make this so personal of this own meeting, but that your spirit within you that's given you by God can read what I am talking about. The Son of Man has already come from glory and is revealing himself for the past few years to his church in mercy, showing them his great presence, doing the same things that he did when he was here on earth, revealing himself like he did to Abraham before the destruction. There on top he writes, he has come from his glory, above the paragraph, Son of Man, grace and judgment. And when he says in the first sentence, the Son of Man is being revealed, he writes there, with Elijah on the right. He has come now in mercy, revealing himself to the church. It's being laughed at and scoffed at. Notice what we read there from that writing. How Sarah laughed first. Here too. Notice how that scripture is fulfilled there as well, because the scriptures have multiple fulfillments. In the first coming of the Lord, notice, it also had a fulfillment, and at this time as well, the next time, and he writes there in the third dispensation, he reveals himself, it'll be in the judgment on the world and the nation that's forgot God and sinned their way of grace, their day of grace rather. And he writes there the second dispensation, their day of grace rather away. And he writes beside that, Elijah and Moses. And above he writes, Son of Man reveals himself twice. And he also writes above Revelation 19:11-21. Now, it continues to say here, in this other message titled, Beginning and End of the Dispensation, Beginning and End of the Seventh Seal, Beginning and End of the Seventh Seal. The beginning, when he is born, the end, when that messianic ministry ends, which in the first coming of the Lord was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in a manger, and the end on Calvary's cross. This message was preached on November 14 of 2009 in Cali, Colombia, and it says, the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord for this end time. The seventh seal therefore contains everything the coming of the Lord will be. Now, when the seventh seal begins, just like the first coming of the Lord was, it began in the Virgin Mary's womb. He was then born, he was then raised as a Jew, he was circumcised on the eighth day, he attended to the feast of the Passover every year, and attended to the synagogue every Sabbath. He was truly a keeper of the law, and every few people knew who that child was. Who that child was came to be known, some people came to know, because the angel appeared to Zechariah, telling him, Zechariah, that through his wife Elizabeth would have a child. She was barren and elderly, and he also was elderly. He was a descendant of Aaron. That is why he was a priest, because priests are descendants of Aaron. And now, and she also was a descendant of Aaron. Now, we find that the priest Zechariah would have a son who would be great before God, because he would be the forerunner of the coming of the Lord, of the coming of the angel of the covenant incarnate or made flesh, that is, of the coming of the Word made flesh. And John the Baptist would be the forerunner, the one who would come to prepare the way for the angel of the covenant. And now, what would the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Messiah be? Well, the coming of the Word made flesh, the coming of the angel of the covenant in and with a body of flesh that would be born of a virgin, as it was promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and in which would be the woman's seed, and also in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Virgin Mary was the most blessed woman of all women, the only woman who would have a son without physical relations, without having relations with a man, without having intimate relations with a man. The birth of that child would be by divine creation. And now we find that she had received the visit of the archangel Gabriel as well, just as Zechariah also received it. Now, that visit was in the holy place. Now, look. He goes on to say, and the Virgin Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. Therefore, when the angel spoke to the Virgin Mary and made known to her everything that would happen to her and through her, she was very happy, and she said, be it unto me according to thy word. And don't forget that the Virgin Mary represents the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not forget that, because that is very important. Now, look. In the message, the fulfillment of the Lord's day, let's pause for a moment there, or let's just go ahead and finish this message, the paragraph that's left of the message, beginning and end of the seventh seal. He says, where would he come at his first coming? Through a virgin, through a young Hebrew woman, which represents the church virgin of the Lord Jesus Christ, which at the last day would be waiting for the coming of the promised Son, the coming of the Messiah, because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ for 2,000 years has been waiting for the coming of the Lord, and an angel, just as he spoke to the Virgin Mary, has to speak of that promise to the church virgin of the Lord. If back then he spoke to Mary, the mother of Jesus, that angel, that archangel Gabriel spoke to her about that promise. Now he says, an angel, just as he spoke to the Virgin Mary, has to speak of that promise to the church virgin of the Lord. Now, notice that that was partially fulfilled in Reverend William Branham, and it was completely fulfilled in Dr. William Soto Santiago. Now, let's turn to this message, the fulfillment of the Lord's Day. He tells us, preached on September 5 of 2010 in Calle, Puerto Rico, Dr. William Soto Santiago says, and now we find that God is then made flesh, Malachi chapter 3 says, and we are going to read it so that we can have the clear picture. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 2 of Malachi, it says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And here we have the promise of the coming of the Messiah and of the coming of the one who precedes the Messiah. Meaning, John the Baptist, to have a people who are very prepared, very ready, waiting for the coming of the Messiah and for the announcement of the coming of the Messiah, the announcing from heaven. Around those days, God sent his archangel Gabriel directly from the presence of God. And remember when he said, I have been sent from the presence of God to give this news, this good tidings. That was in 2016, at the end of that year. That was said by Dr. William Soto Santiago, and he already identified himself there as that angel, that archangel. He appeared to Zechariah, who was fulfilling his duty those days according to the time that he was to minister in the time. In other words, there is a time to minister, to carry out that work. He goes on to say, and we find the story here in Luke chapter 1. Remember that Gabriel announced the first coming of Christ, and he is the one who will announce the second coming of Christ. Now, at the beginning here, what we read, if that angel spoke to the Virgin Mary, announced to her that this son would be born of her, then he would be announcing and was announcing that promise to her there. And there he says, just as he spoke to Mary back then, that is, he sounded that trumpet to the Virgin Mary, she typifies the spiritual Mary, which here he told us that he announced the first coming of the Lord. He says, he will announce, will sound the second coming of the Lord. He will announce, that is on page 33, and the paragraph 282 from the Book of Quotations, he says, and standing there was an angel, the mighty Gabriel, and on the left he writes, Gabriel. He is a messenger to the Jews. Remember, Gabriel announced the first coming of Christ. The angel Gabriel will announce the second coming of Christ. The Bible said so. And above he writes, Gabriel equals announces the second coming of Christ. And that is what he did. That manifestation of that angel in Dr. William Soto Santiago announcing the second coming of the Lord, announcing the coming of this promised Son. In other words, God has been fulfilling everything according to his program. Now, he goes on to say, I am in the message, the fulfillment of the Lord's day. Dr. William Soto Santiago goes on to say, it was the Archangel Gabriel who explained both to Zechariah as well as the Virgin Mary how and what the coming of the forerunner would be, as well as the coming of the one forerun. And chapter 1 of Luke says, verse 5 and on, and there is going to read that scripture. Let's read that part. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the curse of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. In other words, it is a moment in which that work is carried out. In a writing, in a notebook, he writes, the time of and the hour of the intercession in God's temple. That is, it was a moment in the Old Testament, notice, under the dispensation of the law, in which that work for the sins of the people had to be carried out. But that was to covering sins. Now, look, it didn't remove them, it covered them. Now, he goes on to say, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Brother William says, he goes on to say there, the altar of incense was in the holy place. That is, it didn't enter the most holy place, but to the holy place. In other words, at the end time, that angel will be giving the good tidings to the church under the dispensation of grace in the holy place, and not in the most holy place, as simple as that. And the incense when it was offered, or a little before that, let's read that part where he said that the altar of incense was in the holy place. That is, it didn't enter to the most holy place, but the holy place. And there appeared unto him the angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, the incense. And by that incense being offered, the prayers of the saints would rise, the prayers of the people would rise, and there we see, there we have the archangel Gabriel ministering, working in the right side of the altar of incense. And look, now, our brother William continues to read, and when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. The same or worse would happen to anyone else, brother William says. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. If it's the angel, brother William says, that's on the right side of the altar of incense, who has to do with the prayers of the saints, so that they can reach God in that, in the smoke or cloud of the incense that is burned. And it is the archangel who has access to God, who has access to the book of truth, who knows all the divine mysteries, and it is the angel who has to do with the changes of those empires of the Gentile kingdom. In other words, this archangel of God works with the Jews and with the Gentiles, and with the support, with the help of the archangel Michael. Now look, a little bit further on, he says, in this message, he says, the angel left her presence after this conversation. Because here he was also talking about the scripture in Luke chapter 1, verse 30 and on, when he reveals to her, he brings the good tidings to her, to Mary, and then she says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Brother William says, the angel left her presence after this conversation, after the conversation that this angel had with the church bride at this end time, the spiritual Mary. He left her presence after bringing those good tidings, that news. He left the holy place. Now he goes on to say, the archangel Gabriel announced the first coming of the Lord and will be announcing the second coming of Christ. The angel Gabriel blew, sounded the trumpet for the first coming of Christ, and he will sound the trumpet for the second coming of Christ. That is the divine intervention, the intervention from another dimension in that whole divine program of the coming of the Lord to his church at the last day. It will be a secret that only the church of the Lord will know. That is, this secret would only be known by those who are going to be transformed and raptured, only the church bride. Only the church of the Lord will know, and then the Hebrew people. And the Hebrew people will say, this is the one we are waiting for. And notice, that is the revelation that will transform us, that is the revelation, the faith, so that we can be transformed and raptured. The same thing he did to Sarah. Look on page 138 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1235, there is where he tells us, and he says, the translation of the bride will be the same thing. The word that's in you, the body will materialize around that word. And the same thing did by Sarah. And below that he writes, the promise of the promised son transformed Sarah and Abraham. On top he writes, in the word, the body will materialize transformation and rapture. And he also writes, Abraham and Sarah, that is on the top of that paragraph. Now look, also on page 7b, Reverend William Branham here tells us of paragraph 62, and now we have seen the placing of the gifts into the church. And there he writes, a ministry, prophet, fourth Elijah. And now, what are we seeing next? God manifesting himself in flesh, discerning the very thoughts of the heart, exactly what Jesus said would come to pass. And the next thing is the changing of the body to receive the promised son. And on the left, he writes upwards the promised son, Abraham's son. And look, there on the bottom of that paragraph 62 below, he writes, there between the 62nd and 63rd, he writes there, Sarah, a dash, the church, changes its old Pentecostal, in between parentheses, old body to a young, and he writes in between parentheses, bride. And Isaac is born of her, the son of the promise, the son of Abraham. I'm going to read that again. Sarah, a dash, the church, changes its old body, and in between parentheses, Pentecostal, to a young body, and in between parentheses, bride. And Isaac is born of her, the son of the promise, the son of Abraham. Here he also tells us in this message, his unfailing words of promise, he speaks to us about the moment when his wife told him to scold Joseph for something he had done. And notice, there he... Let's read this little part here because of the writing here on page 18, which is page 11 from the book in English. And he details here of that time that, or that stage that women go through when they are already of a certain age. And look, he says, and my wife had to be both mother and daddy, both for those children, because I'm away. On her decision, a father and a mother should agree upon their decisions for their children, but I'm not there. I'm in the service of the Lord, and my wife now is 44 years old, just 10 years younger than I, and I come in from one of the meetings, and I was tired, being about a little over, about 2 years ago, I guess, when we come out here, and I had been out, and I was real tired. And there to the right, he writes, 44 years, and above, and there also on the margin, he writes, Sister Meta was born in 1920. And my little boy, Joseph, he's just strictly a boy and running out in school where he hears everything and he draws a Star of David to the left. And on the right, he writes, Joseph, one day when I come in, he said something another and sassed his mother. And then he ran to me. Now, he knowed he would get a licking from her. So, she said to me, she said, Billy, give him a whipping, that is a beating. There on the left he writes WB, that is William Branham. He writes Meta and he writes Joseph. And he put his arms around me and said, Daddy, I'm so sorry. He knowed my soft spot and he writes Joseph once again and he draws a Star of David. And so, oh, I said, honey, let's forget it. I can't. And for the wife and I, with this Bible before me, has never had a word in our life. But all at once, being in that nervous time of life, and he writes to the left, Meta, menopause, she slammed the door right in my face. Notice, she might... Let's say, she might say, he is my husband, I have the right to do it. Now, notice that that also happened to Miriam and Aaron. They started speaking against Moses. Whether or not they were right, it shouldn't have mattered to them what Moses did or was doing, because when they spoke against the Ethiopian wife, because he was the dispensational prophet, and he was the prophet of that dispensation there, He was God's representative on earth. Therefore, the one he had to answer to was God. No one could judge Moses. No one can judge a prophet. And that's in every age and in every dispensation. Now, here, she noticed. He says, she slammed the door right in my face, and she said, then you should take care of him a while, and slammed the door and went in. That's where he writes there on the left, Mera, Menopause, and he also writes, Joseph. I thought, poor little fellow, bye, she has all that to go through herself. I walked on out, and I said, Joseph, come on, and here he writes there, Joseph. I said, I took him, I said, Daddy should give you a licking, you know that, but I said, being that you repented, see, but remember, my patience is going to run out one of these days, and that repenting, and he draws a star of David to the left. You've got to bring forth fruits meet for repentance and prove to me that you really mean it. See, if you love me, then you will mind me. This is something very, very meaningful. Because the angel told Brother Branham to be sincere. If you are more sincere, or if you are sincere, now, notice that a time would come when that repentance under the dispensation of grace wouldn't be effective. It would have to be the works, the fruits of a worthy repentance and proof, meaning with sincerity that it is truth. Now, he says there, if you love me, then you will mind me. That is obedience. Notice. Now, look, he writes there at the top, he writes, every age of the church had its menopause. In the seventh age, the church under the dispensation of grace had to go into a new age and a new dispensation in order to be rejuvenated, to bring forth the Son of the Promise, the second coming of Christ. I will read it again. Every age of the church had its menopause. In the seventh age of the church under the dispensation of grace, it had to go into a new age and a new dispensation in order to be rejuvenated, to bring forth the Son of Promise, the second coming of Christ. And in the message, what is the attraction on the mountain, on page 30, Reverend William Branham tells us, page 25 on the booklet in English, now, it says, now, dear God, here in the prayer he's saying, surely we're not a bunch of hybrid Christians, we shouldn't be, somebody that had to be petted or babied, and he writes there, not petted nor babied, like many people who always want to be held and praised for what they have done in the work, or the work that they had done, or petted. We are not like that. He says there, you don't have that kind, Lord. You have rugged believers. The very presence of God sets a man's heart on fire. Like Abraham, he believed God. You made yourself known to him. Then you appeared to him and performed a sign, and he believed you. You turned his body back to a young man, and also his wife, which his wife was part of his own body. Then come forth the new child, the promised son. And he draws the cornerstone there and the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone, and above he writes, the new child equals the promised Son of Man. Because he writes, SM, the promised Son of Man. And to the left, upwards, he writes, the promised son, God, you promised that it be the same thing this day. I pray that you will confirm this word, and we will deal right on that one promise there, that it will be like it was in Sodom, just before Sodom was burned, and judgment struck Sodom, the Gentile world. So judgment is fixing to strike the Gentile world, and the Jews got 3.5 more years through the period of tribulation, Jacob's trouble, the continuing of the 70 weeks of Daniel. But the Gentiles are numbered. It's time to go. And you give that sign, and you said it would be again. Granted, God, they are, we are in your hands. And he writes there on the left, it's time to go. And he writes the sign. The sign, the greatest sign on earth, is a prophet. We have seen God's promise to Abraham. Let's stand and let's live in this subject, God's promise to Abraham, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.